I serve notice right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the time remaining in this service, that every unclean spirit, every spirit that would work through sexual immorality, every spirit that would try to influence your life through pornography, I serve notice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you are being broken in this house. And I am asking you, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come in agreement with me right now. We've had a wonderful worship experience. We've worshiped the Lord. Now, I call you as the army of the Lord to come into agreement with me right now that in this room, during this time, that people that are sitting under the sound of my voice that are struggling with an affair going on in your life, maybe adultery, some of you that are having sex outside the boundaries of marriage, whether it's premarital, extramarital, and so forth. Those of you that are accessing pornography, maybe some of you are occasional, you drop by, some of you are obsessed with it. I'm telling you today that you can gain some ground, you can gain some freedom that deep inside you have been yearning for, and I encourage you to listen to the Word of God here this morning. This is our fourth week in a series called The High Places. Back in October, Chuck Pierce told us that The High Places was an important thing for us to be dealing with right now. Simply put, I've been sharing with you out of 1 Kings chapter 11 in verse 7 that King Solomon, this is after David who had a heart after God. His son Solomon assumes the throne. I shared with you last week, he was the wisest of all men, but you can have a lot of wisdom and not be walking in it. And Solomon began to be influenced because, first of all, he obeyed the word of the Lord not to intermarry with the foreign wives from pagan nations around him. But he did. He formed political alliances. What did I say? He disobeyed. He disobeyed the Lord by, thank you, disobeyed, okay, the Lord by intermarrying foreign wives against God's bidding. And they began to influence him because they served the gods of other nations. We're told of two here particularly that rooted all the way back to the days of Lot, who came out of Sodom, the god of the Moabites and the Ammonites, Chemosh and Molech. I've told you about that. But what Solomon did from the top as king, he opened the gateway for these demonic influences not only to be allowed, but he financed putting those shrines, altars, and high places in for these false gods to be worshipped. Now, we've covered a lot of territory on this already, but at the very least, what we're seeing is people who are given authority over people, they can open demonic gateways that begin to influence the people. Our governmental leaders can make executive decisions. Our Congress can make legislative decisions, as our judicial courts can make judicial decisions that can open up the doorways and say, demons, come on in. This was happening under the reign of Solomon. I'm not saying Solomon was all bad, because when you talk about demonic influences in people's lives, you can have a lot of your life in right order, love the Lord, have things going on, doing the right things, and yet have an area where a door has been opened, you're not walking in victory, and then it's a struggle sometimes in your secret life, and it gets a hold on you, and these other things may look good, and it can be deceptive, because you can think, because of all these good things I'm doing, this must not be too bad, and been there, done that, you don't want to go there. Paul tells us, and I need to move on quickly. Paul tells us in the New Testament, we've seen this every week, that our warfare is not flesh and blood. It doesn't mean we don't have to deal with people. It doesn't mean that the devil can't work through people. Paul is letting us know the real battlefield is in the high places, the heavenly places. The real battlefield is a spiritual war. And the devil, who's a copycat, has strategically stolen from God the design of having this hierarchy and these divisions, and he sends his emissaries out to do his bidding. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything, but he's got some good reporters he sends out that has lots of information. They've been gathering information for centuries on your family line. I've shared that with you. The enemy's aware of the weaknesses in your family line, what's worked before, and he realizes it worked then, it'll work now. We got into that last week when we were dealing with alcoholism. And then I carried you, I'm not going to read these statements because I've read those every week. I carried you to Revelation 9. I was led to this passage because the works of the flesh in Ephesians 5 is a long list. This kind of has got some, the big bad boys that are in the bucket. And in Revelation 9, God's wrath is being unleashed. Heavy duty judgment is beginning to hit people. And this is the picture you have. People are still stiffening their spine toward God, doing this. I'm not repenting. Notice what it says. And they did not repent, and then we're given the list, of their murders, are their sorceries, Greek word pharmakia there, are their sexual immorality, are their thefts. We spent a couple of Sundays on the sorceries. That word pharmakia, the drug culture, how that's affecting our families, our nation. And then we realize also that sorcery is the occult uses drugs often, and we're going to see today even how there's a combination of these things the enemy works through. And we got into the sorceries and how mind-altering substances are often used by the enemy for him to become, the god of this world, to become the influencer and the governor in people's lives in a bondage fashion. Today we're going to focus on sexual immorality. Pornania. Sexual immorality. And as I step into this section on sexual immorality, and as it's listed here, they were not repenting of it. We see here that murders, we haven't gotten to that one yet. There's a whole list that goes with that and the thefts. But what was happening here in the end times is we see this prevalent today, rampant sexual immorality. The hearty populace approval of it. We are living in that time. But I have to start at the beginning. Sex, and there's two words you don't hear a lot of teaching of, unfortunately, in today's church. Two three-letter words that begin with an S. Sin and sex. Now, you may hear the word sex a lot, but as far as just good, solid, biblical grounding on sex. And so, we're here today to do some of that. Sex is God's idea. Sex is a sacred thing before God. It's something that a husband and wife can pray about. If you realize that everything that we do is worship, it can be a part of your worshiping and glorifying God. Sex was God's idea. He designed Adam and Eve as two sexual beings. And there were only two. In today's culture, and just biblically common sense, in the Bible, God created male and female. And through the act of sexual union within the boundaries of marriage, a man and a woman can become physically one in that act of coming together, connecting during sexual intercourse. I'm trying to be mindful of our audience this morning. That's physical oneness. As a husband and wife under the direction of the Holy Spirit learn to be governed by the Lord and walk with the Lord, there's a soulish oneness that begins, a bond, a tie that is formed. It's like you almost begin to think a lot. You know what each other is thinking. You know what each other likes. I remember the first time I saw this beautiful young lady up here on the front row, and when we were in Walker College, and how my heart started doing some kind of dance. Saw those blue eyes, and I just, like, it was just went from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And I was just so attracted. I was swooned by her, didn't know her name or anything. But now I can look back after 47 years of marriage and having known her now for almost 50 years, that God was orchestrating our coming together. And she was just, I guess when we first met, 16, and I had just turned 18, and when we got married, she was just the paint was still fresh on her 18th birthday, and I just turned 19. I mean, we thought we knew everything. Why not get married? But I can look back now and say, even in our ignorance, in our not knowingness, which may not be a word, but God was doing something. And particularly when you look back to the genesis of how our lives began, that's another story, and a lot of that's hers to tell. But we know we were meant for each other. And because of that, oh, we've never had a squabble. We've never had any warfare. Don't buy that bait. No. Doesn't mean there's not a lot of change and a lot of warfare. Back to this. Sexual immorality. Sex is God's idea. Adam was created. Eve was coming. Then we get to that passage. Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and brought forth a son. You see, God created us as sexual beings, and so that babies could come along. Because one of his commands was be fruitful and multiply. So the Lord wanted them to multiply. He made Adam. It wasn't just the same day he created Adam. It's not good for you to be alone. And so he caused a deep sleep. He made the woman. She met God. He brought her to Adam. Adam had already met God. Then a man who met God and a woman who met God were brought together, and the first marriage happened right there before God. And that's the pattern we follow today. We want a man led by God and a woman led by God to know God's leading them together and come before God and let God bless their becoming one. We call that holy matrimony, the bonds of matrimony. But sexual immorality, what is that? Let's go through the speed list. Fornication. Fornication is sexual activity with someone, any form of sexual activity outside the boundary of matrimony. The Bible is very clear in the book of Hebrews. Marriage is honorable before all, and the bed is undefiled. That means a man and woman coming before God and getting married, they can, and again, I'm trying to be careful about the audience, but we need this teaching. That when a man and woman, then they can, when they go into their bed of intimacy, they can know God blesses this. This is okay with God. It's how He's made us. It's how we reproduce. It's how we have children. And see, how did God make sure it would happen? He made it very pleasurable. He made our physical bodies to respond in such a way that all those bells and whistles start going off. Hormones and chemicals start being released in your body. Things start working, and you are brought to a point where conception can take place. The man in Scripture, he is the carrier of the seed. The woman is a, if you will, man who with a womb, a human being with a womb, a womb man, a woman. In her womb, God created her with eggs. And God created her body that once every month, and you don't have to tell your body to do this. God's already told your body. I'd like to spend 30 minutes right now talking about how God created us, encoded us, downloaded into our software so many things that help us relate to the world that we can't even fathom it. Scientists are still trying to understand how the body knows to do this, that, and the other, and a million others. And part of it's reproduction, that once a month, that one egg is released. And then if the man and woman has come together, the seed of the man travels to the womb, and if the one that gets there first connects with that egg, doesn't always happen, but when it does, the moment the seed and the egg, what God's done inside the man and what God's done inside the woman creatively, when those two things come together, there is a dynamic creative action of God and life, a new life. A life separate from the father, a life separate from the mother is now overseen by God and created in the womb of that woman. Whether she's saved or lost, knows God or not, cares about God or not, because when he made the human race, he set these things in order and motion, and it's sacred to him. That life at the moment of conception is sacred to God, set apart. That life is set apart to worship, honor, and serve God the Creator. That's the reason we as a people of God at Grace House, we believe in the sanctity of human life. We believe in life in the womb. It's not because we're from the right. It's not because we're conservative. It's not because we're Republican or Democrat or whatever. It's because we're believers who honor the Bible and honor the Creator and say, this is God's territory. We are not to contravene it. Nor should nine men in black robes. Nine men and women in black robes. Sex is sacred. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But how many find there's difficulty in your sexual relationships, in your marriages at times? How many of you struggle with some guilt? How many of you feel a wall go up? How many of you have to, you're like, have to get to a place where you can allow it? Indicators of a need for healing. Indicators for a need for freedom. And please robe the words that I'm releasing over you in righteousness within God's boundaries. Within God's blessings, because I'm telling you, a lot of times those walls, that resistance, that guilt, that condemnation is because of violation of God's design and boundaries. Fornication, sex outside the boundaries of marriage. Adultery, when one spouse, or even both, have sex with somebody they're not married to. Sex that's honored by God is a man with a woman within the boundaries of marriage, not a woman with a woman or a man with a man. That's called homosexuality. And that's a violation of God's design. And listen, if you struggle with that, if you're here what they call being gay or lesbian today, and there's all these other things, not here with a hammer to beat on anybody. I'm just telling you that when you look at it wanting to honor the Lord, He's the Creator, we're not. We're the creatures that are created to worship and honor Him. It's a violation of His design. It is not what's best for a person. God chose your biology. You can't just re-choose something else. Because the Bible's very clear in the book of Psalms, in Isaiah, that in your womb, God knit your members together. You were framed. You're the handiwork of God. Jeremiah was told that before he was framed in his mother's womb, God knew him. I mean, that's the well that goes deeper than this old boy's bucket. That even before you were born, there was a knowingness of God because you are spirit and spirit's eternal. We're made in the image of God as human beings. God is spirit. That's the part of us made in the image of God. And lost people are still spiritual beings, but they're not inhabited with the Spirit of God to animate them and help them govern under the worship of God. Are you with me? Adultery, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, bestiality. What's that? Hate to say it from a pulpit, but you need to know it. Sex with animals. Why would somebody do that? Because the Word of God's very clear. When God created the order, He created them male and female, and the two of them would become one and have human beings. He created the animals, the elephants. A male elephant, a female elephant could have baby elephants. The male leopard, the female leopard could have baby leopards. Dogs would have dogs, cat would have cats. You couldn't have a dog and cat to put them together and get a dat. Within a species, yes, there can be different breeding, but not otherwise. Are you with me? Well, who would even consider sex and animals going together? Satan, because it's a perversion of the divine order to reproduce after your own kind and to deceive people to think, not that they're trying to produce a hybrid animal, a human, although I'm sure some evil scientist somewhere is trying to work on that. But it's just a simple violation. God says, no, in your own kind you will reproduce. That's where the seed's effective. And the enemy doesn't mind people sharing their seed as long as it's not within the holy boundaries of God. Because he can taint it. He can contaminate. He can cause trouble and turmoil in people's lives. Now, let me come back to pornography. Pornania is where we get the term porn. The largest, well, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to give somebody a suggestion to visit a site. But that's often in a lot of the big pornography sites from the research I've done that they want people to know this is porn. Because people are looking for it. You know, there was a man whose last name was Marshall years ago, and he made this statement. Some attributed it to G.K. Chesterton. I think he used it as well. Simply said, every young man who rings the bell at a brothel door is looking for God. You know what he meant? He wasn't saying it was a godly thing. He was saying that young man's really looking for something that would fill that need and desire for intimacy that he has. I shared this with our couples last night. There's hardly any powerful thing more powerful than to be known. For someone to really know you. Into me see. That's the reason that God's order is with a lot of prayer and direction, and a lot of times with parental influence and so forth. A young man comes to meet a young woman, and they're praying about coming together. And if it's God's will, that then there's a celebration with friends and family, and there's a wedding. And then on that wedding night, that young man and woman, with the full blessing of God, the young man never having slept with anyone else, and the young woman never having slept with anyone else, now spends their honeymoon together. And it's pure. And it's holy. It's sacred. It's pleasurable. And there's blessing on it. Don't you know the devil knows all that stuff? So, if he can interfere with that process and create a culture and climate where teenagers are encouraged to explore your sexuality, and we're way beyond that in our culture. What's that do? That means when you do find that person, that your heart does what mine did when I saw Mickey in that trigonometry class. I wasn't thinking about math. Whew. And it still does that, by the way, sweetheart. But when you do find that person and you have that wedding and you have that honeymoon, and may not be any issues on honeymoon night, all that first year, there may not be. It may just be wonderful. You don't realize there's any issues. You think, well, that must have been just old-fashioned conservative, you know. But then one day something happens. And there's an argument. And all the sweet, sweet turns into heat, heat. And you've got this conflict going on, and you, and maybe you're not talking and you're angry. You know what happens? The enemy, that observer I told you about, that knows your family line, also knows your history, knows about that person or those people you slept with and all that stuff. It's amazing how this can work. The enemy, you'll be in your anger, you'll all of a sudden out of nowhere come a thought, and you'll think about that girl in your senior year. Or you'll think about that guy in college. You think, where's that coming from? I hadn't even thought about that person. But it's, and then you find yourself battling, thinking, well, you know, they may have been sweeter to me than this person I married. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder if I still got their number. You don't think the devil does stuff like that? Oh, it busts up relationship and bursts up, or burst. It tears it up. And then, lo and behold, just a week later, you're downtown, and you're in the department store, and you look, and over there that person is. Those thoughts have been coming, and there that person is. And now there's a temptation, well, I think I'll go see if I can intersect, and maybe just say hi. You know where it's going, don't you? Just happenstance? Coincidence? Or is it an orchestrated effort from the kingdom of darkness to bring things together to break that holy bond, that tie of matrimony? Now get this. What's he using? An unholy soul tie from the past. Because he wants to break that holy soul tie that you have with your one and only. I want to share another revelation the Lord's given me on this. Is not one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, when you're in situations like that, to bring to your remembrance the things the Lord's taught you? Isn't that what Jesus taught his disciples? But you don't even have to think about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. The copycat, Satan, and his demons are stealing that same mode of operation. So in your moment of crisis, and because you're not humbling yourself, but you're being proud, you don't want to change, you don't want to deal with it. Instead of humbling yourself, Lord, I'm so angry and I'm so upset here. Instead of, Lord, give me what I need to battle this. Instead of that, no, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that. And what happens? An unholy spirit comes and brings to your remembrance that Friday night in the back seat of your junior, senior prom. Or fill in the blank. No, I'm not telling you. Don't think about it. I just want you to get the principle. I take that back. Okay. Does that make sense to you? Because he's a thief. He's not original. He steals God's design of building you up and making you strong and having a sexual relationship that's fulfilling and pleasurable and honorable and enjoyable, and trying to, so you can have a renewed mind, so that the enemy can't dredge up from those old soul ties and begin to drop those carpet bombs on you to try to get you to break your matrimonial tie. And that same thing happens. Help me, Jesus. When you sit down in front of your computer or you pull out your smartphone and you go find and surf to one of those sites, and listen, sometimes that journey begins very innocently. You can't hardly drive down the highway and look at the billboards now without seeing some pornography. It's on primetime TV. It comes up in the ads. Somehow somebody gets your email, and out of nowhere you start being stormed with all kind of garbage. It's everywhere. It is so accessible. But when you go there and you see the activities on those pornographic sites, those memories, you are filling your mind. You're loading your brain with ammo for the devil to use against you to steal and corrupt your intimacy, to create a wall between you and your spouse. And I've dealt with enough men with this. I'm telling you, I see this often. There will be usually, if somebody's really, a real deep seed of anger. And a lot of times it's because that man, and by the way, statistically, within a year's cycle, by survey, 69% of American men visit pornographic sites. That's basically 7 out of 10. And you know what's increasing? The number of women. Right at 40% of women say that they do. This is a problem of epidemic proportions. And I would encourage you, if you have a struggle with it, get you some kind of filter. Go down the Tennessee River, throw your smartphone away if you have to. Throw your computer in after it, whatever you have to do. But it's hard. If there's a desire within you to do it, you're going to have access to it in our culture. But today, we're going to believe that God's going to do something and break the power of those desires. To cleanse minds, pour His healing oil into these memories so that they can't be dredged up. Renouncing soul ties, breaking their power off of your life so the enemy can't work through those to break the tie you have with your spouse. I don't think we can overestimate probably how much demonic glee that the devil gets out of seeing people soak themselves and saturate their lives in pornography. There's the occasional user. That can lead to the more frequent. That can lead to the obsessive. And the percentage of those who are obsessed, in other words, just have to go every day, or that's lower than the 69% I mentioned. But the more you are in that 69%, then you're going to be in that other group. It creates, beyond just the uncleanness and the sinfulness of it, it creates a dissatisfaction. The enemy understands the law of progression. That's how people that become really defiled move from this area of sex into a darker one, into a darker one, into a darker one. And when we get into violence, when I'm teaching on that, hey, these are heavy-duty messages lately. Please hang in there. Please pray. Because what we want to do is regain ground. As I shared with you, if we're going to see the high places toppled and Jesus enthroned as He desires to be, and I mean Jesus is Lord over all right now. That's not going to change. But if we're going to see our region and our lives manifesting the power and blessing of God, then we've got to get cleaned up in here. We've got to get tired of this thing having our family under its foot. Or in your marriage where you get along good till the lights are out. But see, pornography, what you're doing, you're committing adultery and fornication between your ears. And the enemy knows if the man thinks, so is he. So if I can just get it started between the ears, it won't be long till it's between the sheets. And if it's not with someone else, then I'll just create that defilement and guilt and condemnation so that when you and your spouse are together, you're really thinking about that woman you saw on that side. Or you can't get your mind where it needs to be because you feel so guilty because you know what you've been doing. I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I'm not trying to do any of that. I am trying to help you today. I beckon you. I plead with you in the name of our blessed Savior, our sweet Lord Jesus. Ask Him to help you today. Be willing to confess this before Him and renounce it and stand in faith. I truly believe when we make a decision before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you and I'm going to lean and humble myself to receive your grace, that He will not fail in giving you the power to walk in godly desires. That's what grace is. It empowers us to live godly lives. And there's probably few people under the sound of my voice here today that in some way, in some measure, maybe small steps, that you know what I'm talking about. You've stepped over there. Maybe you didn't mean to, and you saw something, and you stayed longer than you should have stayed. But let's clean house this morning. Let's have healing oil poured in our memories, because God is a restorer. He can restore the years the locusts have eaten. If it's same-sex attraction, God can give you a desire for the opposite sex. Well, I just don't think I can change. You can't. But by the grace of God, you can. And that's the humbling yourself. But I like it. God created sex to be pleasurable. But that doesn't mean every time you have sex that God is okay in it. He's not okay if it's not within the boundaries of marriage. Young people, you're only harming yourself, thinking that you're helping yourself, if you are engaging in sexual activity before marriage. And I realize in today's world, it's more rare for someone who's never had sex to marry someone else who's never had sex. But that is the standard. And none of us have been authorized to change that standard. Basically, God's told us how He wants to bless us, to maximize the blessing on our lives. And the devil is going to tempt us to shortcut that, just so he can pollute and pervert the good gifts of God. It works with our physical appetites, our hunger, our drinking. We got into the alcohol last week. Our eating. My goodness, I love homemade French fries and chocolate ice cream. I have sinned eating chocolate ice cream. Get under a bunch of stress. And I think I'm doing all right because I'll buy chocolate yogurt instead of ice. There's only 120 calories in a bowl of yogurt, and there's like 250 in ice cream. So I eat chocolate yogurt. And I confess before you, and I'm on keto right now, so I'm not eating ice cream. So I'm gonna practice God's word. I'm gonna confess before you. This is safe, hopefully. And if some of you try to condemn me with it, I'm gonna stick the Lord on you. Need to lighten it up a little bit here. Listen, there have been times when I've been stressed out about something. I go to that refrigerator and get me a, how much, is it a half gallon or, yeah, I'm probably a whole lot less, but one of those cartons of chocolate yogurt, and I'll take a pack of cones. That's a problem right there when you take a whole stack of cones. Folks, I have sat there and ran out of cones. And look in that box and think, that really ain't enough to save, and finish it off. And you know what? I lived through that. But I had to repent of it. You know why? Because I wasn't in charge of that. My desire for that to go, you remember we were talking about alcohol last week? we're strongly cautioned not to cross that line where you become, your mind becomes affected in your decision making. It was the same thing with ice cream. I didn't get a high off of it. Well, it's a different kind. That strong desire. The word lust can be a holy word when it's translated properly in Scripture. The Holy Spirit lust has a strong godly jealousy for us. He doesn't want us to soil ourselves in the devil's dirty stuff. He wants to keep us holy, pure, and pure for Himself. Jesus has told us, when I come back, my bride's going to be without wrinkle or spot or any such thing. So if He's coming back for a bride like that, don't you think He might use a service like today to do some cleaning up? Because that's what He's after. That strong desire for us. Well, who's the copycat? The devil. He wants you to have strong desires for the wrong things. For not one or two small cones, but the whole kit and caboodle. That's called gluttony. It's on the list of bad boys, just like this other dirty stuff I'm talking about. Take that to lunch with you. Our worship team's coming. Now, I'm just going to think out loud here for a moment. I know how we people are. If I say, you know, I want everybody struggling with pornography to stand up or come forward, there'd be a few brave people that would do that. I'm not interested in embarrassing anyone anyway, but I'm telling you, the Bible says if we'll confess our faults to one another, we'll be healed. I encourage you to begin with the Lord, but I would encourage you today to confess to someone. It's your spouse, if you think you could start there without it. That's a whole other kit and caboodle too, but don't want to hurt any relationships. But your first step of healing is to get this thing broken off your life. If you're dabbling, stop it. If you've been dabbling too long, become obsessed. You've probably got some demonization in your life. You need to be delivered from an unclean, lustful spirit that's empowered by demons. I'm not saying you're possessed. I'm saying you're being oppressed, being demonized. You're being influenced. How do you know that? When you... I've even prayed about my appetites for certain foods. Like, it just seems like I'm getting too much help here and wanting to do the wrong thing. Now, the flesh is very powerful. Don't mistake the flesh. But when you get to the point where it's like you can't even make your decisions, you do that same old thing just over and over again, it's like you're powerless to stop it. You probably need to renounce the presence of demonic influence. I want to ask all of you to stand. I want to ask our intercessors particularly to be praying right now. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come forward, because this time of altar call is not just for today's message. You may need for healing. This may have awakened other things you've gone through where you've been traumatized. And I encourage you across, don't you read, number one, people coming down the aisle, what they share is nobody else's business. Don't read into why people are coming forward. Have the liberty to come forward and get ministry, whatever your needs are. Maybe you just need to come pray at this altar. But before we begin this time of invitation, I want to step into a time of corporate deliverance. I want to ask those in the audience that can pray in the Spirit in agreement with me, just under your breath, you begin to pray right now. Those of you that have more of an apostolic mantle on your life, I want to ask you to specifically to agree with me right now that there's going to be a high level of anointing to bring deliverance in this room. And Father God, we come before you right now and yield ourselves as humbly as we know how. Cleanse us, Lord, right now of any unclean thought, unclean way, any way we've been influenced, that we've yielded to or ignorantly we've done it, Lord. We want our prayers to be pure. You said if we walk in the light, as you are in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, your Son, will cleanse us from all sin. As we began this time earlier, we are now issuing an edict, bringing a command to bear upon every unclean spirit, every lustful spirit, every spirit that would energize, empower people through pornography, sexual immorality, people addicted sexually. People have a problem with pornography. Anyway, demonic influences are affecting the marital bed. I ask for the power, Father, to be brought to bear in this room to break any extramarital affairs that may be taking place in here. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, there would be a release of anointing and power, the breaker anointing, to break that spirit of whoredoms off any men in the room. I pray there would be the anointing and the power to break through any prostitution. Particularly any women who their go-to way of being comforted is to yield their body to anyone. I thank you, Father, for your loving kindness. I thank you, Father, for your tender mercies. I thank you, Father, for your sweet Holy Spirit that comes in to give us what we're really looking for. But in the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bring the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, against every unclean soul tie, against every demonic stronghold in the mind. I bring it to bear right now in this room, and I say in Jesus' name, be broken. Be broken in Jesus' name. Now I want you to get in agreement. Just close your eyes for a moment before the Lord. No one looking around. You honor the privacy of the people next to you. I want to lead you in a prayer. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, just you and the Lord, you can whisper it. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, by an act of my will, I'm choosing this right now. And in faith, I'm believing you right now. I repent of sexual immorality. I repent of being a person who accesses pornography. I repent. You repent of the things that you know is nailing you. I repent of adultery. I repent of homosexuality. I repent of sexual deviation. I repent of all sexual uncleanness in the name of Jesus. And I renounce it now in Jesus' name. Tell him that. I renounce these things now in Jesus' name. Now pray this concerning if you had sexual relationships outside of your marriage or before your marriage. In the name of Jesus, I renounce these ungodly soul ties. Sometimes the Spirit of God may bring certain ones to your mind that you just not by name need to do that. It may mean if you have some old love letters, you need to burn them. If you've got some, it could even be jewelry that somebody gave you of a former lover or some memento that when you see it, you think of them, it has a hold on you. You need to get rid of that. Clean house. I renounce these soul ties, these ungodly soul ties in Jesus' name. Just say that and mean it in faith. Now you need to, with your authority, and I'm speaking to believers right now, and if you're not saved, that's your first step today. You need to get saved. But to believers right now, I encourage you to say, in the authority of Jesus Christ, my Lord. You say that. In the authority of Jesus Christ, my Lord, and His name, and by the power of His blood. Just say it. By the power of His blood, I command every demonic influence, every unclean spirit, every spirit of whoredom, every adulterous spirit, any and every spirit that works through these things to influence me, I command you to leave now. Be gone in Jesus' name. Now look at me, everybody. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a servant of His, I speak to those spirits and I command them to come out of you right now with your agreement. They must come out of you right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you may be feeling some uncomfortable tightness. Sometimes people have a struggle breathing. Sometimes your mind becomes really confused. I come against all that stuff. I command it to cease right now. And I say to you, be loosed from these things. Be free from them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, just as a prophetic act, take a real deep breath and just breathe it out slowly. Be loosed. Be made whole. Be free in Jesus' name. Now, look right here. I loose upon you the promises of God that greater is He who is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world. I loose upon you the awareness that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I prophesy over you that it'll be different from this day forward, that your relationship with your spouse will be sweeter. It'll feel more pure, more righteous. We just declare walls are being broken, resistance is being removed, and that your sexual union can be what God wants it to be in the name of Jesus. I loose that upon you. I encourage you to say, I receive this by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The table is set now for any and all. For whatever needs you may have, just come on up. Jesus Christ is Lord in this house. He's Lord. He died that we might be free. If you continue in His word, then you are His disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You've heard the truth today, and the truth will make you free. Stand on that. With your sword in hand, stand on it and war. Come up out of it. Be loose from it in Jesus' name. As we begin to worship now.
There's nothing worth more.
Oh, sweet Jesus, thank you.
Ever come close.
Whatever your need may be, now is the time to come.
You're our living hope. Oh, your presence, Lord.
Are there others you come? God is so merciful. So gracious.
Tasted and
He's so good.
Of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Oh.
Are there others? You come. Maybe the Lord's leading you to become a part of the grace house. Come on. Maybe you need to be baptized. If you don't know Jesus today, you can become a believer. Your sins can be forgiven. Come on up. Now this altar's going to remain open, and I want to ask a precious brother who is here with us today. Jim and Ann Beavis are here. We welcome you home. Brother Jim, would you honor us today by praying the benediction to this service? And after the amen, then this altar just remains open for you to come if you need prayer. God bless you. Thank you for offering here. But we honor you. We miss you guys. We know you're in Atlanta now, but you are missed in the shows, and we just are grateful to have you here today. Feel free to share anything you want to and dismiss us in prayer.
Lord, we've heard the truth today as revealed in your word and as preached brother. Lord, I pray for restoration in the pulpits of America where we've compromised with sin and where we've allowed things that should not be allowed. And I pray for each and every man and woman in this audience who is somehow touched and somehow convicted by the Word of God this morning. And I would remind us all, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when Jesus shed His blood for your sins, the very sins that may have come to your mind have been covered by the blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you must repent and confess that before the Lord, and He is gracious. He sits on a throne of grace, and He is a gracious God, and He releases grace on those who have need of mercy and healing in time of need. And we all find ourselves, Lord, in that category. So we receive the blessing, the grace of the Lord this morning, the Spirit of God who hovers over this place. And this word, may it not fall void, but may it accomplish what you intended for it to accomplish. And I pray for Eddie this morning, a hard message that's been preached. But Lord, console him that he's done what you said, and he has spoken what you have spoken. So may we leave this place rejoicing this morning in the Lord, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you all for being here today, and particularly for you men in the house. We are praying. We're going to do something to help men in this area in a way that will strengthen you and help you. Amen. So that will be forthcoming. Blessings.